The common theme in our three testimonies, improv testimonies, by the way, is that people outside of the church were part of the church, but ministry outside of the four walls of the church and outside of the leadership of the church influenced people for the kingdom. And that's what the ministry of the church is all about. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. If you would, you are probably already there. Please read with me from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. And we don't have the PowerPoint today, but you can follow along online if you check out our church website. It'll have the YouVersion app link that you can go to. Or you can just do old school. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word this morning. Father, we glorify your name. Thank you, God, for the testimonies of this church, God, and how you not only use, Lord, the ministry of this church, Lord, but the ministry of individuals to build the body of Christ, to win people to Jesus, to encourage people in their faith, O God, to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus. As we take these few moments now and look to the Word, we ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon us. We pray you speak to our hearts as a church as we prepare for the next 60 years. May you encourage us, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. If you've ever watched a concert on television or a sporting event, the focus is always on the performers. If it's a singer or if it's a speaker or a comedian, or in the case of, you know, the greatest football team in the world, the New England Patriots, Tom Brady or those individuals. Every once in a while, you might get a crowd shot, and they have to pick those carefully, especially during church services, because you don't want to get a crowd, you don't want to get someone nodding. That's bad. But people aren't too interested in the crowd, you know. And the only times they're really interested is, you know, they have the guys without their shirts on with, you know, Go Jets or something on their or chest, or holding up a sign, or acting goofy. But the average person in the crowd is of no interest to those who are watching whatever performance there is. And that's the exact opposite way it is regarding the church and the focus that's on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is in the church wonderful gifts that God has given the church. We read about them just a few moments ago from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 specifically. God, because he wants to build his church, has given his church precious gifts. He's given the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But as we read this scripture, they're not the stars. The leaders that God has given the church, they're not the focus. What God wants to do in the church is not make just a few people the center and the focus of how this world is impacted for the cause of Christ. The focus is on you, is on the body. And so we're going to take some time and talk about that this morning. We have actually this year have been taking time looking at the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 and kind of evaluating ourselves as a church. But this morning we want to take some time to step back and remind ourselves the reason why, one of the reasons why we are here, why we gather ourselves together on a weekly basis to worship God. And yes, it is to come together and to glorify God as a people. That's important. And as we read this morning, Ephesians 4 also encourages us and tells us other reasons why we come together, and that's to build one another up in the faith. We come together so that we can be unified because it is the will of God that God's people on this earth be one in heart and spirit, in grace and in truth. We come together so that we can grow in our knowledge of God and knowledge of His grace. We come together that we might be more mature, that we might become more like Jesus. And I know we've all come a long way, but I can only speak for myself this morning. I still have a long way to go to become like Christ. And one of the ways I'll become like Christ is by coming here and not only sharing with you, but allowing you to share with me. Great purpose of the church, but the one thing in this passage of Scripture I would like to look at this morning and focus on this morning is the reason that we come, one of the great reasons that we come together to worship God is so that we can in turn become ministers ourselves. Because you're not just a congregation, you're not just a flock or a bunch of sheep. You are what I am. If you are fulfilling what God has called you to be, you're just as much of a shepherd, just as much of a leader, just as much of a minister as I am. And the purpose of this church is to prepare you for the work of being a minister for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know this not only through this portion of Scripture, you know, verses 11 and 12, let me read them once again. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. So we know that from our text this morning, but there are other scriptures as well. In fact, the apostles, upon whom the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was built, Christ being the chief cornerstone, but the works, the writings, and the ministry of the apostles are also foundational to what we do in this building, to this organism, because it is living and breathing, called the church. They understood that too, that the ministry just wasn't about them. It wasn't about Paul and what Paul had to say and how great Paul was and the mighty revelations and things that he had. It was about the people that he was ministering to. Listen to his words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you, speaking to the church? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. The greatest accomplishment that the Apostle Paul will have the day that he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ is not the many sermons that he preached, is not the different places that he went, is not the kings that he testified to. It won't even be the scars that were upon his body that he bore for the cause of Christ. The greatest accomplishment that the Apostle Paul will have will be the people that he has won and encouraged in their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, and has moved on to places of ministry. That's what the church is all about, preparing people to do the work of the ministry. Let's take some time, a few moments this morning, because I'm sure you're all hungry and looking forward to that great potluck downstairs. But let's talk about it this morning. And I think it's important that we do take time to talk about it because, you know, we do live in kind of a spectator society, especially today. In fact, what is one of the most popular forms of entertainment on either television or internet? It's what they call, somebody said it, reality TV, where people do what? They go into people's homes or people's jobs or different things and they watch what people do. Let's see what people do. Let's see how people really are. Let's see how they work through this trial or this struggle. We all like watching, and you know, we sit back and let them go through all their troubles. Maybe I don't know why, maybe it gets our mind off our own troubles, but whatever it is, it's something that has truly changed our culture. We have this mindset of that things are important are things that we watch, that someone else does. And it's no more real or and one of the biggest problem areas that we see that is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an expectation that the church is something to be experienced, not something to move us into being something whom God has called us to be. You know, we live, because we do live in a spectator society, not just reality television, but sports and speakers and all things of those nature. We do live in a society that looks to be entertained wherever we go. In fact, I dare say, and part of the fault of this falls on us as leaders, pastors and other leaders. I dare say there are a great number of individuals who are going into many churches on this Sunday morning expecting to be spiritually entertained. I want to see something good happen. I want to hear a good message so that I can be blessed. I want to hear good songs. I want to be stimulated in my mind and in my spirit. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that per se, but that's not the goal of the ministry of the church according to the Word of God. The mindset that you and I are to have into coming into God's house and in the very, not the only part, but the very important part of the breaking of the bread of life, which is the Word of God, the sharing of the Word of God, is that we be moved to a place of ministry. That we take what we're given here and we allow it to change our lives. But not just change our lives. And there's nothing wrong with that. We want to be changed. But understand that anything that we receive from God, we have a responsibility upon our lives to share it with someone else. Jesus puts it this way, freely you have received, freely give. You know, there is somewhat of a focus, especially in Pentecostal charismatic Christianity, on the fivefold ministry. People are very interested in what the fivefold ministry is all about. You can find books written on the subject. You can hear sermons preached on the subject. What an apostle is, what a prophet is, what an evangelist is. Many men and women in the body of Christ earnestly seek and covet those titles upon their lives. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they're listed in Scripture. They're to be evident within the church, but they're not to be focused upon. Our focus on a church isn't on whether or not there are apostles, or even what an apostle is, or a prophet. Because when we fall into that mindset, instead of focusing on God, what do you want me to understand? What do you want me to become? How do you want me to minister? Our focus is on what this individual is going to do today and how I can be just blessed by that, or how I can be entertained by that. You see, the leadership gifts, as precious as they are, were never meant to be the focus on the church, in the church. And there's a reason why we know this. And the reason is because they're barely mentioned in Scripture. I was going to say, whoever's whistling, you need to cut it out, but it's our sound system, so it'll work itself out. And let me tell you, 60 years, I guess the devil showed up and messed us up this morning. But really, the focus was never to be upon the fivefold ministry. We're to understand that those gifts are there. We're to appreciate them, but never focus on them. And we know this to be true. Why? Because in Scripture, other than people sometimes referring to themselves or other individuals as apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, and one or two scriptures, actually, the Scripture that we read this morning, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a mention of the office of apostle and prophet and pastor and evangelist and teacher. But no real teaching on that. And there are several reasons for that. Number one, the definition of those things, of what an apostle is, what a prophet is, and so on and so forth, is very simple. You find it in the name itself. You know, an apostle literally means someone who is sent. So what is an apostle? It's a man on a mission. And you really don't need much more of a definition than that. A prophet is someone who brings forth. That's what prophet means, to bring forth or to bring forward. So what does a prophet do? He brings forward the word, or she, in the case of a prophetess, brings forth the word of God. That's the only definition we need. Why is that? Our focus as a church isn't to be on titles. There's a danger with titles, because titles can lead us to a place of pride where we allow it to become a thing of prestige, which has no place in the kingdom of God, because everything we do needs to be about Jesus. So instead of focusing on who is saying or who is ministering, our focus is to be on what is being ministered. In fact, the original apostles themselves were not overly concerned with their titles. Yes, there were times Peter and Paul referred to themselves as apostles, but other times they just referred to themselves as plain old Paul, or plain old Peter, or Paul the servant, or Peter the servant. In fact, John, James, and Jude make no mention whatsoever at all that they were apostles in their letters to the churches. So the focus of ministry isn't on the ministry gifts or the fivefold office. It's on the people of the church. But specifically, what God does within our hearts and what we're focusing on this morning, being moved to an area of ministry. And if you are part of this church, actually anyone who's part of any church, if they're truly allowing the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fivefold ministry, to impact their lives, they are being moved to places of service. Now, service is a pretty broad term. And in sharing this morning, I'm not saying that God doesn't call anyone specifically to certain areas of leadership. He certainly does. And we're not all called to do the same thing or to be the same thing. Not all of us are called to be pastors. You might be thinking, you know, is Pastor Randy going to ask me to go start a new church? And no, God might, but I won't. And you know, he may, but chances are he won't. But I'd like to share with you just briefly this morning three areas of ministry or three areas of service that I believe every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who's part of a church, has been called to. The first is the ministry of prayer. If you're being impacted by the fivefold ministry, you've been called to a ministry of prayer. I don't see anywhere in Scripture, if there is, please find it and share it with me so I can retract my statement. I don't see anywhere in ministry where God has a unique calling on individuals to pray. In fact, if I see anything, I see the exact opposite. That men are to what? Always to pray and not faint. In fact, Jesus took it as a given that people pray. And not just the 12, everyone who heard his voice or everyone who is following him. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are his disciples, you are following him, so you are called to pray. And not just to pray for your needs, although that is a wonderful privilege that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the freedom to take our needs to the Lord. But think, God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and leaders to do what? To prepare God's people for works of service. And what service is doing for others. God has called us as a church. A ministering church is a church that prays for others. We look at the Lord's Prayer, we look at how the first thing we should pray for is the will of God to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. It's not just something we do a few moments on a Sunday morning together, in between song service and preaching. It's not something that we just, do before our food and asking God to bless our food, and that's a wonderful thing to do, but God expects more. God expects a service component to our prayer time. We need to pray for the will of God. We need to pray for one another. The different needs that have been shared. And may I say, over the last couple of days, and it's been a crazy week, and we had two little ones in the hospital, one in ICU, but they're both here today. And they were in the hospital yesterday. So we praise God. And we thank God for that. But I also know that people were praying. And don't think for one moment when Bob reads those prayer requests, that him reading the requests and then saying that brief congregational prayer, that we have fulfilled our duty to pray for those needs. There's a reason that we're praying for Lorraine Rall. And let me say, regarding Lorraine, she stopped treatment for her ovarian cancer. I'm just going to allow whatever God's will to be in her life. She needs our prayers. Her husband needs our prayers. Her family needs our prayers. It's part of the ministry of the church. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for the will of God to be done within this assembly. We need to be praying, and not just for Easter, but especially now as we prepare for Easter, that God would save people. And if we're not being moved to that, there's a disconnect between the fivefold ministry and the church for whom the fivefold ministry was given to move to service. Second aspect of ministry that I think all of us, I believe all of us have been called to, is the ministry of the gospel or the ministry of the word of God. Two things we've all been called to do, and this is very, and I'll talk about this a little bit more before I close this morning. But something that we've all been called to do, and that's share the word of God with other people. To share the gospel, the good news, the gospel that Jesus saves with those who don't know Jesus. And to share the word of God to those who know Jesus so that they might be encouraged and they might be mature. We can't think that ministry just happens here on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or in different kids groups, what happens here. Now, I'm not saying for one moment that ministry at church is not important. It is. We need to have the preaching of the Word of God. In fact, the preaching of the Word of God is central to ministry in the New Testament. You read the book of Acts. It wasn't the only way the church grew and multiplied and prospered, but it was an important part. The Word of God was preached. We always need to have that. We always need to have Bible study. We need to continue to have, you know, men's ministry and kids' ministry and those types of things. But we can't think that that's the only dimension, this is the only place where ministry can happen. If our church is to truly be a ministering church, ministry has to happen not only here, but out there and through you. And that includes the ministry of the Word of God in telling people about Jesus and telling people who Jesus is in studying the Word of God. That calling is upon your life. In fact, I'm going to just go to the next one, then I want to go back to this point. The third aspect of ministry we've all been called to is the ministry of helps or helping. And that word help in the Bible is used in conjunction with those who care for the poor, the sick, the needy, the downtrodden, the discouraged, the widows. That's all our responsibility. It's not just the pastors. It is my, and I'm not saying it's not my responsibility, it is. Pastor's calling is to care, but it's all our responsibility. And if we don't feel that burden, there's that disconnect. And God help us. We'll never be what God has called us to be. We'll never see what God wants us to see until we are moved to places of service. But getting back to the ministry of the Word of God, out of all things, it's one thing to help someone. That's kind of an easy thing. I didn't know they still made that ringtone. I'm just kidding. It's easy to go, we don't always do it, don't get me wrong. But it's easy to go, shovel out your neighbor? Easy to go buy a bag of food and give it to someone? Easy to go visit someone in the hospital, tell them that you love them and you care for them? A little harder to pray for people, but let me tell you regarding being ministers, a very important point. I know it's a little scattered this morning, but that's just kind of the way the day has been. The ministering church is not just a church that understands that ministry goes on outside of these walls through us. It's a church that takes initiative. Ephesians 5:16 says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Let me tell you, if we're going to have, and I don't mean to be cliche this morning, but I think this is God's will for our church, that the next 60 years, should Jesus tarry, the next 60 years be greater, and may we see more done for the kingdom than in the first 60 years. You know, Bob read those things. A lot of amazing things happen. I don't want to look back at the good old days and say, boy, wasn't it great way back then? And not for my own glory, because it should never be about me or anyone else in this church. But I believe this is the will of God, that the next 60 years be greater. We see more done for the kingdom than in the first 60 years. But it won't happen unless we understand ministry happens outside these four walls and we take the initiative. Which means we take advantage of the opportunities that are given us to give God the glory and serve someone through prayer, helps, or the ministry of the Word of God. And under the leading of the Holy Spirit, when there are not opportunities, we make opportunities. And I'm not saying, you know, we tackle everyone and you need to find Jesus, you know. Sometimes that can be self-defeating. But there will be times when there's no opportunity and the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to say something, you need to stand up, you need to do something. And that's part of redeeming the time, making an opportunity. But one of the three that I mentioned, and they're all important, prayer is so important. Helps is so important. But the most important thing, because it is this that gives life, is the ministry of the Word of God, and we've all been called to do it, but it's the most intimidating. I can't teach this book. I'm not a pastor. I haven't gone to Bible school. I'm not a deacon. In fact, I haven't been serving God for many years. Let me tell you, some people I've heard teach the Bible who've been wonderful have been people who haven't been serving God that long a time at all, but they've just taken the short time that they've had, they studied God's Word, and they've allowed the Holy Spirit to not only instruct them, but empower them. But it is very intimidating to share the gospel, to disciple others or teach others, and to encourage and comfort one another or other people with God's word. But let me tell you, the only way that many people, and we're just a small slice in this room of the population of Norwich and Greater New London County. Just a small slice of people. And the only way they're going to be reached is if you provide or make opportunities for them to hear and to study the Word of God in your homes or in their homes or in some place outside this church. Why do I say that? Several reasons. Number one, a lot of people don't come to church and don't have any plans to come to church. 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning is a little bit too early for them. Or they don't like the songs. Or they don't like the pews. Or they don't like that I'm wearing a tie. Or they don't like, you know, the way someone else looks, or they don't like the music, or they don't like the pat. Believe it or not, they might not like me. I don't like your pastor. I like them anyways. But it's true. They're not going to come here. So if we are not all out there providing opportunities for people to hear and to study the Bible, the work will not get done. But how do I be a teacher? Do I have to go to Bible school? Do I have to do this? Very quickly, and actually our musicians, if you'd like to come. So I think this is very important. Number one, I've been in church. And may I say, in the almost 11 and a half years that I've been here, you guys have just been a joy to preach to. I can't even get mad at the people who fall asleep. And I know a lot of them are tired. But, you know, you stay with me, and I know you're hearing what I'm saying. And not that I'm the final voice and authority. I'm not. And I know this is, and I know for many, if not all of you, the ministry of the word that you're receiving Sunday morning is just a small part of what you're receiving into your life. You got stuff in you that you can share. Teach what you know. Secondly, there's a lot of, we are so blessed in this country. There's a lot of things that can help you. Teach other people the gospel. And you know, when I said, you know, people won't come to church, well, you know, how do I approach it? Just say to, you'd be surprised, just say to someone, I'm going to study the Bible. Do you want to join me? The worst they can say is no. The worst thing that can happen is, and then whether they come or not, begin studying the Bible. And don't study something obscure. You know. Study, you know, John, you know, specifics, or you know, a good book like that talks about Jesus. You know, whether they come or not, just keep studying it. And the worst that could happen is you have a greater understanding of what the Word of God says. But you will be surprised. In fact, I've heard many times how people just started a simple home Bible study. Before you know it, they've had over 20 people coming. And did they last forever? No. But for that time, the Word of God was being ministered. You can do it. Teach what you know. Use helps. There are things out there. The wonderful books. I can get you some. You're serious about it. In fact, it's really not as hard as we make it out to be. Some of you might have heard of Francis Chan. Francis Chan's a pastor. I believe out in San Francisco. And he's a highly sought after speaker, conference speaker. He's written many books. People love to hear him. He had his podcast and everything. I enjoy listening to him. His daughter said to him one day, Dad, something to this effect, Dad, I don't know why people think you're such a great speaker. All you do is read the Word of God and say, do it. That's all it is to Bible study. Read the Word of God and do it. It's not rocket science. A little, you know, the kingdom of heaven, you know, suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It's so easy, a child could understand. And God will help you and enable you to dig in those scriptures. And you know what I find? And this isn't in my notes, but when I dig into the Word of God to share with other people, whether it's you on a Sunday morning or whatever other venue it might be, I get so much more blessed myself as God just speaks to me in a powerful way. He'll bless the socks off. Amen. I can say that. If you would stand with me this morning. And as we're looking ahead to the next 60 years, so in 60 years when I'm 110 years old, I'll be thinking about retirement then, you know, and we'll all be there. Charlie, how old will you be? Bless God. Bless God. As we go into the next 60 years, when we come together, of course, have the purpose that, you know, we're going to bless God, worship God together. We're going to come together, we're going to fellowship, we're going to be encouraged. I'm not saying don't do those things. We're going to receive. It's part of coming to God's house. But also, every time I go to church, I'm going to expect to be changed and to be made a more effective minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. God, I'm not going to say I need you. God needs you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Brother Charlie, I'm going to ask if you would come. Right now, our senior member, at least present in the church, I'm not sure if Grandma Jackie's a little bit older, but if you would lead us in prayer and ask God specifically to prepare us in the time that we have left, and we don't know how much time we have left. Jesus is coming soon. It is not. And so we really have to make most of every opportunity that God would make us into the ministers, and we'd have that perception. That ministry is not just what's done behind this pulpit on a Sunday morning. It's done outside these walls by us. By you. And I include, I say us, because we're all in this together. Amen? Brother Charlie, if you lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come again. You told us you'll never leave us or forsake us, so we know.